Floor is a secondary plan amendment for 129 Dagmar Street under file SPA 3 of 2009. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing and the following items will also be heard at the same time. Item number 5 is a rezoning for 129 Dagmar Street under file DAZ 221 of 2009. And item 6 is a variance for 129 Dagmar Street under file DAV 168407 of 2009D.
Okay.
Yep.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, you will receive notification from me. The time, date, and location of the hearing at 60 days is 2 scheduled meetings past this initial public hearing.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, the applicant I have is Mr. Benacio Wani. And delegations. Mr. Wani? What's your name, sir?
My name is Beto Dwight.
Are we going to have a spokesperson or group for the applicants? Could we have them?
So, Mr. Otori, you're the spokesperson for
yes.
for all the people registered here?
Yes.
Okay.
No, not.
Pardon me?
And I'm going to speak also what you call me. I don't think I'm a spokesperson.
Okay, well, we'll call everybody. Anyway.
So the applicant is the Sudan Humanitarian Relief Organization and the Sudanese Association of Manitoba, Inc.
That's what I mean.
That's
okay, Mr. Otori, have a seat. And your name and address for the record, please.
62 Glen Mill. Okay.
Welcome.
Go ahead. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, if I don't smile, I was running out with the kids, so you probably think... Forgive me on that. Basically, we appreciate the time given by the council to listen to our application. And I have a short PowerPoint presentation.
Okay. Oh, I see. Okay. Okay, great. Okay, Mr. Otori?
Yes.
Time. Actually, go ahead.
Okay.
I have a couple plates here. I see.
Yeah, the purpose actually for us to come here is to share our dreams and knowledge with the city. And we have been part of this community for almost 15 years. And so we want to share our dreams and application of the city. Secondly, we want to participate in the neighborhood plan inclusion, which the city has set in 2007. And the presentation is also as part of our follow-up to the request we have put to changes in the zoning, so that we'll be able to rent the property to raise more funds and to help our clients, who are mainly UN the fire relief. And we serve about 3,000 to 4,000 clients, and we are actually neighbors to the city hall. So that's what we are here for. The address is on Dagmar, of course. The property was built in 1907. The type is a synagogue. The payment number that was given then was 323. It's last 1907, and currently, since then, three ownership for the property passed through three hands, namely the first owners were the Jewish community, and then the Eagles, and currently now it's the Sudanese Association. The legal slot number it comprises 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. And then the plan is 33086, and the parish is of St. John. Our effort through the center is basically to provide the communities, mostly new immigrants, with programs that will help them integrate into the Canadian society. I mean, we want to give back to the community. Many of us came as refugees and immigrants, and we were helped by the various churches and communities. including the city in some ways. And so we want, by acquiring the property and serving the community, we want to give back to the community as well as and to participate, because we can't be receiving all the time. So we want to also to give something to the community. And so that's the objective from which we're coming and why we bought the property. And but we thought that, so we envision a property where the community come together, we celebrate our differences and our variety and our cultures. And so we envision a teamwork, and which has been, we appreciate that the community has supported us through the years to pay the bills. And it has been something that we have appreciated, because it also gave us the chance to participate in the democracy. The first time I became a citizen, that was the first I was taught to, that there is always a responsibility and giving in democracy. You are voted in the chair to speak on behalf of somebody, unlike where I came from, where you'll be imposed what to do. So this was something I started appreciating of the Canadian environment. I've come to learn that it is something that I have to celebrate, because there's always room. Like now I'm being heard by the authorities, you know. So this is something I'm proud of. You know? So we, through the process, we also want to give back to the community. And so this is something we appreciate. And so that's why that place is important for us, because it did bind us together, it brings us to appreciate Winnipeg. Because if we see our logo, the city of Winnipeg, it is so important that we have to celebrate the variety and the differences that we have and the different culture. So this is part of our contribution to the city and the effort that we have put together as a city and as a community. And so we are proud of being part of this community. And so most of our clients, of course, as I said earlier, we are from Africa, and many of them were in the refugee camps. And it was because of the acceptance of the Canadian people and the citizens that we became part of this community. So we see this property not just as a building, but we see it as something that will make us grow as a community, that will also make us contribute and become part of this community. And so that's why it's important to all of us as a community, because that's what the dream of this community. So as a benefit, as such, our community is now an active player in the spirit, the energy and diversity of the city of Winnipeg. We are also providing an opportunity for our young people to be able to learn some skills and work for themselves, because unlike in the camps, you wait for what UN will give you. But here you learn the skills and be able to give back to the community through your work, through your volunteer work and activities. So which is a bonus, not just for us as a community, but to the greater city of Winnipeg. And so when you get employed, you also pay taxes, which is part of our contribution to the community here. And so as I said earlier, it is also a process for us to practice and get educated in the what democratic practices are through our voting process and election. We also manage the property, so we learn some skills, you know. And then we also, it enables us to be part of one another and a community. So there's a bonus for us to own. But all in all, it's not that we are an island of our own. We belong to the greater community, which is the Centennial West Alexander part of this community. And in my talk yesterday with our partners and friends at the West Alexander Development Association, they were opposed to the idea, but as far as I know, they are not really opposed to our presence. But probably they have a different perspective. But what I know, over the years, they've worked with us to help the young people who we are afraid will become gangs. And many of them actually participated in some of the things. So I was surprised to see that they are not happy or they are opposed to the approach that we are trying to make. But probably they have a reason. And one of the reasons I understand is that there was a document in 2007 that they presented. And the council had time to discuss on it. But I think that was just a research proposal that, in order for us as a city to develop properly, we need a certain procedure to take into account, including the use of land. And one of their fears was that all the area, there have been a lot of development in terms of parking, sports, and so on. But I think I have no fear, because our city has gone through, I was here in 1997 when the great flood was here, and I was proud to be part of the people who picked the sun. And even when the Eton was part of the Eton was to be destroyed, I mean, we had different people who had different opinions. The same thing with the hydro center. So these are part that I see their perspective, that it's not that they are really opposed to us, our presence, but they are saying we should have a better way of looking at things. But in our way, what we understood from them is that since you worked and supported us on some of those things, and we want to address the challenges that our communities are facing, including our young people, probably getting into gang. So why don't we work together to get the spot and support these kids and families? So these are the opinion that we think about them. And the other last thing before I finish the whole thing is that our friends of the Hargreaves Holdings, and also I think we understand why they are opposed, because their plan was to acquire the whole property and build a parking spot for the Winnipeg Regional Health. But we thought, because they had offered us, they would buy the property and rent to us for a dollar. In our opinion, it would look as if we are again back in the town, because you don't know when anybody will decide, because after buying it and you give for a dollar, anybody can take it. I mean, Hargreaves Holdings will decide and say, okay, the time is over, and I think we're going to develop it into another perspective. So as owners, they would have the right to. So we thought it's better for us to take the burden and pay the challenges that are in. And actually, it's far better for us than being looked as if we are from the refugee again. And so that's one of the reasons we didn't like that dollar offer, because it actually made us less contributing than we thought. So those are some of the opinions or views that we thought they have different outlook. But all in all, I think this is our home, this is our community, and we feel that we have to contribute to this community, whether we like it or not. And we have to help these young people to understand that Winnipeg is our home. Maybe some of us, but my children and kids, this is their home. They're going to be before. Canada is their home. So we don't want to be again like immigrants in our own home. You know. So that's why we want to own this property, because it's part of our... I hope I'm not taking your time. You know. Sometimes when it's hot, you get fired up there. So this is the perspective from which we think we should be contributing and participating in the aspect of our city. And all in all, I think we are proud of being part of this community, and the council, in many occasions, have come to our help, whether through ideas, through advices, through instructions, and I think we are happy. And I think many of us also own houses, those who own, they pay that. And I think they should be paying more even, so that we are part of this community. All in all, we are happy to be here, and we are grateful that you gave us time to listen to our presentation, and more importantly, we are not an island. This place is 1907. I mean, even some of you are not born, where including myself. And Winnipeg is going to be there. And so we have to give in, we have to participate, we have to. We have gone through a lot as an area, because if you go in the 50s, the university and the hospital was merged. The four hospitals were amalgamated, combined together. There were changes in different areas. The Red River College was not even there. And I understand also the police is being taken soon later by the Red River College. So these are changes which we should accommodate, and I think we are not going to make any much changes later. What we needed only the spot to save the community better. So this is where we have come from, and we appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
Hey, Mr. Athwari, thank you very much. Yeah. Any questions? Okay, next. Next up on the list to register is Ida Korczynski. You wish to speak? Okay.
Good afternoon. Name and address for the record.
Ida Korczynski, 907 Bannerman Avenue. Is it okay if I stand? Because
whichever you prefer.
Okay. I'll try standing because of these chairs, so it's really hard to see from there. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you. And I'm not a consultant or a lawyer, but I met Binacio Wani, one of the leaders in the Sudanese community, back in 2003 at the St. Norbert Arts and Cultural Center. It was a music event. And then I bumped into him and we started to get to know each other from that point on, quite often at music events. Then in 2006, he came to our school and did a presentation on Sudan in more than one school, actually, in Seven Oaks School Division. So we go back a long way. Recently, a few Sundays ago, I went to a meeting at the Sudanese Center, and it was very impressive to see how that community center was being utilized. So there was a meeting going on before I arrived. Then there was then that group of people, plus more who arrived, split into two other meetings. So two other meetings happened. Then in another part of the building, there must have been at least, I'd say, 50 to 75 kids from maybe age 2 to 18. And they were doing dance lessons. And the older ones were teaching the younger ones, and the older ones were taking care of the younger ones. And it was just wonderful to see. So when I think of what they're doing at that community center, all these phrases pop into my mind, like, think globally, but act locally. That's what they're doing. Take responsibility for yourself. We say that a lot in the school system. They're doing that. It takes a village to raise a child. Well, we love that phrase, but they're actually doing it. And so this community center is really important to them. It's not just a parking issue, and it's not a development issue. It's the center of their community. And just to rephrase what Beto was saying, it's, I find, really crucial to remember that this is a refugee and immigrant community. So they're all dealing in English, which is probably their third language, maybe their second language. They haven't been here for that long, first generation, and there's a lot of adaptation issues to trying to figure out the Canadian culture, system, bureaucracy. And it's very difficult. Culture shock and probably lots of post-traumatic stress. So that's kind of a bit of a different perspective, but it's the same dilemma. So why we need their parking lot approved is it's a means to an end, which Beto was saying, so that they can make some small amount of revenue and help them sustain their community, sustain their community center, and build it. Also to feel less isolated by having that building, a place where everyone can meet, to have a tangible sense of togetherness and community. So, that's how we see it. Some of the activities that I've seen going on there, church services, meetings, social events, a singer from the Sudan came and performed recently, traditional dance, women's conferences, apparently, I believe it's 3 years in a row. Lots and lots of counseling and mediations, so family counseling, youth counseling, anti-gang counseling, which is apparently very, very effective because it's within their own community and the advice and the counseling is communicated in a way that makes sense for their own youth. So their counseling is immediate, grassroots, and very effective. Poverty reduction strategies is one way of saying one of the other things they do there, and that's fundraising for emergencies. Like, for example, in the last few days, one of their community members had to get a plane ticket to go home for a funeral of his parent. So the whole community goes out and they try and raise enough money to pay for that plane ticket. Funerals and weddings, for which the whole community attends. I guess everyone has heard about the boys, primarily orphans, who've lost their whole family. Sometimes they're called the lost boys. A close connection and a close relationship with those boys, including making sure they have something to do at Christmas, like providing Christmas activities and a dinner for them. There's a small school. It's a unfunded school in the building. It's a Christian school, a music room. And I think that's it. So, I guess my conclusion is please approve their request. And I know there's three different parts to the proposal. And I'm not really up on all the details. I don't quite understand them all, but I'm working on that. And not only please approve it, but please remember that the Sudanese community will also need your support and help and understanding and advocacy going into the future. And thank you. That's it.
Seeing none, okay. I'll call the next delegation, Benassi Owani.
I'll just start saying thank you for allowing us to come here today. It has been almost 4 years for us to get this position now here we are in. And thank you also for people who come out today to support us. Thank you, Ida. I'm just going to say only two words, which is we are not after renting the parking lot to get money. No. We are here to get that parking lot to generate just a little income to pay our bills, to pay our mortgage, to do some program for our little kids, which they are going to run away tomorrow or after tomorrow. We really feel that some of us, like, you know, when I go to sleep, I say, who brought me to Canada here? I better die in bullet back home than to come and just stand to chase up a parking lot, which is really, I really feel very, very bad. As I said to Glenn today, actually, since December till today, my blood pressure go up because of this parking lot issue. Because this was just a few examples of Sudanese who turned out today. There are about 4,000. They're just looking at you, what you have done. And I believe when I get out from here, a lot of calls are going to come, what happened. So please, we are here to be a citizen, as Canadian citizen, to make a good neighborhood, to make a good kids. So to make that, we need a place where we can put our head together, we can think how we can do to our kids to make a better life in this country. So that's what we are here for. Thank you very much.
Next up is Madit Kwach.
Good evening, sirs. My name is Madit Kwach. I've been here in this country for 12 years, and English is my third language. Well, I would like to thank that lady because she's a basketball. Our community place has done a lot of things in changing the lives of the Sudanese who came here. We had problem with gangs. Our kids. Seen a lot of death among them. But since that day we opened that place, no one has been killed again. We have problems, family problems, but that community place has changed a lot of things because of programs which are going up there. Our kids begin to learn our culture even. And it has been surprised very well. We are not here to compete with anyone. the parking lot which we need is just going to generate a little money so that we can go on with the activities. We are not competing with anyone, and I don't see any reason why other people think that if that place is approved, the parking lot and the laws are amended, then there will be a lot of activity going up there. And they don't take example from Spence neighborhood and the University of Winnipeg. When they came up, that place was full of gangs and there were a lot of prostitution going on. Now, if you could see that place, it's really better. Why should we keep this place rotting? We want to be part of this community and work for it so that we mingle together and we walk on the street, black and white, whatever. And that is the community which we want. And that is one of the things we appreciate of this country, because this country is based on those diversity. And diversity is based on strength. So I am asking you just a request. I'm not saying that you throw the laws away. That would be unfair. But laws could be amended to accommodate certain situations. And I believe no any laws has been in any country without being amended. Laws always are amended when the situations come up, which has never been perceived by those who made the law themselves. So I'm requesting you, and I'm appealing to you, look at the big picture, what the students' community is doing, and our aspiration to be part of this community. And we are not going anywhere. This is our country, and we will be here. We want to be part, and we want to contribute. So please accept and amend the laws. Thank you.
Next up is Atsaleo Aten and Bernard, I don't know how to say the last name. Lucin?
You're really asking everyone to speak. You know what you're doing, eh?
Do you wish to speak?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Good. Thank you. I'll just call the name up. If you wish to speak, you're welcome to speak. If not, then just say you're here in support. The next person is Garang, Pino or Lino Garang. Okay. Thank you. Hilda Lacko. Okay. Pat Malice and Bruno Malice.
My name is Pat Malice. I live at 35 Lake Crest in Winnipeg. I'm actually from the Maples. But this issue I take to my heart. I just want to say that this parking lot will make a really huge difference for this community. It will give them additional monies and that they really need for operational costs. I remember about a year ago, I helped them with their books, and I noticed that people were putting private amounts from their own cash into help the community center. To me, that spoke volumes, and I think this parking lot will really help with the operating costs. The Sudanese need this center. They put their own money in because they know how important it is to their community. And this area, the area of Dagmar and the surrounding area, needs this place too. They need it to help members feel at home in Winnipeg. They need it to keep children and youth engaged in positive activities. And the center is part of the cultural mosaic of Winnipeg. And that needs to be celebrated. Parking lots are everywhere in the city. There are countless churches, community centers, everywhere in our city. This parking lot, there's a need for it. I think that's true, and it will help the center as well. So there's two things. In Maples, where I live, there's a community center that was just built not that long ago, the Filipino Center. It's a brand new facility. It's beautiful. It's a wonderful place in our neighborhood. That's the kind of thing we need all over Winnipeg, and this parking lot will make a difference for the community. I think that the Filipino Center was given certain concessions by the City of Winnipeg. I think they awarded I read on the website that they awarded a 2.98-acre lot for a mere dollar a year for 50 years. And this is the kind of thing we need to do for this community center. It's a small concession that will have a big impact on all the people in the area. So I implore you to be in support of the Sudanese and this center. Thanks.
Next up is Natalie.
I'm here for support.
Okay, thank you. Reverend James Oakcutt.
Reverend James Oakcutt, Associate Pastor with Calvary Temple. Bruce Martin is my boss. This has been nothing but the cry of my heart. When the Sudanese came here, I was already on my way to Ethiopia to teach in a Bible college. That's where I got the thing. But because of the people who are coming here, they lost their home country, they lost the structure they have back home there where they can receive support. They have lost the 20 years of education. Many of the children stay in refugee camp because of the civil war. When they came here, we found ourselves in yet another battle on the street instead of having now peace here. It has never been easy, and we have been working very hard so that we can get these children to be responsible citizens. We were not given in our own country opportunity to be who we are and also to express ourselves and to contribute. You know that my first vote, I did it here when I became a Canadian citizen. I'm now 56 years. I've never voted. I voted in Canada. And I want to thank Canada so much because they allow us these things to happen here. There's a democracy. And we would like our children to learn democracy, to learn the way how they can live with one another. They can learn the way how to contribute. Personally, I have a lot. If you ask these people, I say Winnipeg is our home. It doesn't matter whether there's economic crisis, don't immigrate somewhere else. Where God has given you a place, you step there, that is your place. You don't have to run all over the country. And that's why we feel it is very important. There are several issues that why we wanted that center. You could ask me, why don't we get them into churches? Yes, the churches are taking some, but some people are not comfortable with churches. You know, and we have to accept these things, and we don't have to force people there. But what we need is a place where we can reach them so that they can be responsible citizens. The issue of gang, the issue of drug, the issue of family, you know, adjusting into this society has been a very big pain in the neck. I go with my Canadian friends to Africa. In fact, we are planning to go again this August. When they arrive there, they have to stay with me all the time because they're afraid. They don't know the place. They don't know the culture. They don't know any other thing. But for them to be comfortable and to learn, they have to be with people around. And we have this, you know, seen it best if we can have this community center where we can teach these children, help them also to stay in school. Personally, I've gone to the parliament building there and asked that the law has to be made tougher. And I'm thankful. Manitoba has the toughest law all over the country about gangs, driving, and other you know, crime-related. And I'm so thankful. We want a safe street for ourselves. We want a safe street for the Canadian people that we have found here. We have not come from a war to be in another war. We want peace. Peace is the most important thing for us. And we have been actively contributing. Now, if Art the Fair will be here, will tell, I personally told him, I will send people to work for you. We don't want, you know, people who will be sitting and taking money from welfare. And that community center is one of the active places where we tell the people where they could find job. We help them to write resumes. We help them to go wherever they can find that job. And that is very crucial and important. You know, when people stay without job, they can be a burden to the society. That is what we don't want. And that's why the community center is there. We have to tell them where the job is. We find some of them don't know how to do this thing. And we will ask them to be responsible people, to pay taxes, to, you know, want good roads, we have to have good things. But how can that thing happen? It cannot happen just in isolation. And that is the place where we can train them. That is the place where we can show them the way. That is the place where we can teach them how to reconcile. People come from Africa. They don't know what's the system here, fighting between husband and wives. We say, it is not done this way here. This is the proper way of solving the problem. And some also took things wrong, our women, because they were taught wrongly by some other people here. They go there because of the money that they give to their child support. Now they kick the husband away from home. And the children are growing alone by themselves. We say, that is not right. You have to stay together. Whether there is money, whether there is no money, right? And then we tell the men too, that this issue of being, I'm the man in the house, you don't help your wife, it's not right. You have also to cook if she's busy, she's working. And that's what we are doing there. We don't have any other places. Men have serious problems. They don't know where even to turn to. There is, I have not known any single organizations where catered for men who are assaulted, men who are abused, where they can run to. Recently, we have what we call Chai Center with Saeed, where men comes, we give them tea, and then they talk about. But Sudanese Center is being one of the places where both men and women can come, and our young children can learn our culture too. Please, please, don't turn your back on us. We are not just pleading here and fighting for a blade of land. It is a place whereby we feel we can make a difference and we can make a contribution to this society. I ask you and urge you, as the Jewish people were told, treat the foreigners among you well. And I believe when we do well, it will be a blessing here in Winnipeg. We want to Winnipeg to be gang-free. We want Winnipeg Street to be not the capital of murder, but we want it to be where everybody will come and look for peace here. Thank you so much.
Okay, next up we have Regina Ding. Okay, thank you. Ezekiel Abatu. You wish to speak?
I'm Ezekiel Abatu from the Tibetan community. That's most of the Sudan people have my kindness. Thank you for giving me this chance to talk to, and I appreciate Canada for was looking at the diversity of the people. Why I'm supporting this place for Sudanese community is it is a very central place for people, especially who came from Africa. They don't know the law. They don't know anything. They don't know any place to go to. We can hire some counselors, but the counselors are not knowing them as much as the people who grow with them. So that people, that's the Sudanese people community, will help them for those people who can give them a real direction, a benefit way, and the very best way to be the part of the community to contribute them. And the second thing is, I live here in downtown almost 12 years. I know this place around where it was full of prostitutes, it was full of gangs,
It is full of people who don't know where to go. But since some communities have started, they are melting down. So if you guys give this place to these people will delight that place and will teach the newcomers, even the people who are misled, they can come and get the right direction to go which way and to be the benefit of the country and the benefit of the city of Winnipeg. Not only getting that place, I really appreciate if you give them a hand in support of money or a support of something to do so they can prove themselves and know the direction. That is the only place which is around here. Most of, especially my people, that's Africans, have the center. Otherwise, most of the African centers are a little far. So if you give that to a place, it's going to be a benefit, not only for them, but it will be a benefit for the city of Winnipeg. Thank you.
Michael Apollo?
Yeah.
Okay. Althean Malou?
Good evening. I'm here not to talk too much, but I will mention some. I'm secretary of that center when they acquire to generate money from our people, from Sudanese community and from other Canadian community who support us to get some money to acquire the center. When we acquire the center, we got a problem then like this now. What, that problem we went in, there is other business people who want to buy the center. And when they want to buy the center, we went in, they say, oh, you a small community, you just came, you didn't even spend 20 years here. How come you're going to acquire the big place like that? We go in, we say, we will, if for us, we will get it. And for him, he say, okay, we're going to give you 200,000. I will be a member if you get that one. We say we don't need money from anybody. If you are Sudanese and you give us that $20, you write a check as a support. And then you go and claim it in Canada Revenue later. We succeed and I thank God we get that center. In a while, I heard that the problem. For me, when we acquired that center, I got my son. He's here. But the time, they didn't dress as the time going. I said, okay, you guys stay there. I will go myself. That child was born in 2005. We acquired the center only 5 months. Well, it become a 5 months baby. I went to the city with him. I carried him with a big snow. I don't care about the snow. I don't care, but the one only I have, because I want him to have a place one day, to play. For me, I lost my place, but I find a new place. That one. The second thing, when the big snow maybe went to 50, there is one person tell me, come and get $500. If you come, I'll give you $500 support. In North End, I don't know the place. I said, I will go and get $500 with my son because my wife working that time. And I'm going there, my car broke down. When my car broke down, I said, okay, let's leave it, let's get $500 and come back and fix that car. And I went there, that guy, if he's here, will say that is the truth. I come back, I put my child in the car, I turn on my car is working. I say, thank God. We come here, why I'm saying all this?
Because for the center, if today we don't have that parking lot, not only losing the center, we will lose the old center. Because for us, some people, they already laid off as they was been paying. But if you get laid off today, you don't have money even to support somebody. You need your own support. You are looking for somebody to support you. You don't have to support others. That's why I come here and telling you, please, from you to the God, and you will see our community succeed, and our prime minister, whatever will come later, even in our eye here, or in our children's eye, they will come to that center. Thank you.
Daniel Teng. Support, okay. David Peng. Okay. Joseph Lud. Luang. Luang.
First of all, I want to thank the committee. I want to thank everybody that have come, whether for support or for opposition. My name is Joseph Roald. I'm going to speak for the support of the center. I have many reasons to do that. It's not the process, it's not the hustle that the community went through to get it finally. It's not the financial sacrifice, but there are more important things than that. On 24th, I graduated from Providence College with a master's degree and I'm still looking for a job in counseling. And I think that I may be able to help people in that center, even if I don't have a official job, but I think the community can use me. But the most important thing is for my children. I have three children in this place. 8, 14, 12, and 9. And whenever anything happens to the center, we come there. We participate. I told them how the process is, how we even require the process. How simple people who have worked very hard put their hand together and acquire funds with the support of friends to get a place like this legitimately. So that for them, it's not that a life to be got, to get easy money in gangs, to get easy money in drugs, and whatever it is. It is through hard work. It is through hard work. And it is through corporations and working together that people can achieve things like that. And I bring them so that they can see and be inspired by what people who are really working honestly, even if they are in few in number, can do things in this place. Not to get in trouble with the law, or not to get there, so that they themselves be inspired by what we have accomplished. And that building, if it stands there, we will always remind them what their uncles, their friends, their community, their father have done. And they may hope, I hope that they may follow the same way and work hardly to do things for themselves in a very rightful way. One of the things that has happened recently here, we have Youth for Christ Center, a new center that is going to be built next door here. Youth for Christ is going to cost us millions of dollars. The city is going to put, province, well-wishing people are going to put the money, because people knows what it takes for that people, for the welfare of this community and of this city. And for us, we didn't have any hesitation. When people were opposing that center, we stood by them. So that because it takes somebody who knows what goes through these young people in the street to understand what is actually going on. We are not asking for the millions that have been asked for Youth Christ, because for Youth Christ Center, and we are happy it's there. we are asking that we can generate through that request of parking lot a fund that will pay for the hydro. For when the people are there, the light is there. In the summer like this is very hot, the air condition is there, and it used, it consumes power, and we have to pay for it. So I think we take from the parking lot and we put it back to the city. It's not going anywhere. And it goes back into the economy. So actually what we are doing here, we are recycling what is going to come from the parking lot. It's not going to benefit, it's going to benefit us, yes, but it's going to benefit the community because we take it from there and we put it back to the economic system. And I wish that the council will hear us and amend the situation because so that we also be a part of that, you know, the wheel of economy that is rotating here in the city. So we want to go along with it. And by you helping us, we will be able to move alongside instead of you going by yourself and leaving us behind or becoming and asking for help. So please, I would love you to consider that. Whatever it takes you, maybe through lobbying, through other process, you have heard our views, you continue to do that. And if you are the final people to make judgment, I plead that you make judgment in the favor of what we are asking for. Understanding that is not for our own benefit, but it's for the benefit of the city itself. Because whatever was coming from that parking lot, if it is approved, is going back to be recycled in the system here. And I thank you very much.
Thank you. Robert Oliso.
Thank you all for allowing me to come here and maybe say a word. The center that we are all crying for is very important for us. And the important is that it has helped me myself. When I came here in 1997. And we had no center. Our center was the church. And when this center was opened, when we decided to put our hands together and work for it, I was making $8 an hour. And when they asked that we're going to contribute at least $250 for a total of $1,080. I was like, I'm making $8 an hour. I'm paying rent $500. And where do I get the money? So I have to juggle with myself. So I said, okay, I'll get the second job. While then I was going to high school too. I had to get my diploma for the high school. So I did that. And I worked, I slept 4 hours. That's the maximum hours I sleep because I have to meet all the requirements, my requirement, my school requirement, and my work, and then my family back home. My mother died, my father died, and I have four brothers that are still young. I did that for almost 5 years. I paid their school in the refugee camp with the same $8 an hour, and also help to pay the center. And that I work because I know that whatever I put, I sweat. Whenever I sweat, even though I sleep less, I am helping people here and I'm helping people there. And I worked hard and I sponsor actually 3 of them. I sponsored them here, they came, they were good kids. And they worked. They go to school like I did, and they did all the best that they could. Second thing, last year, my brother was found in the river. He was dead. That's last year. And we don't know what happened up to now. The guy was not drinking. He was always in the house. At around 10 o'clock, that's when he's in the house. When he's working night, that's when he come in the morning. And this all happened. When this happened, I was shocked. I was like, why did I bring my brothers here to die? I wish I have left them in the camp to stay there and do all the best. But because I love this country, I am a citizen, and there are people who live here had better life. And I say maybe if these guys come here, bring them here, they will do better. And what happened, that happens. It's already gone. But what I'm asking you as people, we are working hard. It's not that we came here not to work. Everybody, each of these people, everybody pay taxes, even though they make $5, $10 an hour. I don't know what the minimum wage is now. I think it's $9.75 or something like that. These guys, people are working. Imagine this one, when I was just in school, I had to work in policy. And I had to send all these piles, big piles, and so you don't care about your bag, but still we manage because we feel as part of this country and part of as a citizen of this country, not immigrant again. That's what we are feeling. And I think in the way we look at things, it is very important for us because I don't want to be in the street and look my back all the time because there are people who are bad in the street. I need to walk proudly, go ahead, and everybody will be okay. You'll be safe, I'll be safe, nobody will employ the security or anything. That's the city we want. We don't want to hear every day Winnipeg in the news about murder, which is not really good for us. And I'm asking you as a council or the mayor or anybody that can help us, at least help us. We are not here to make money. We are not here to make money in that sense. We are supporting the community and the society. And the children that grow up, if they grow in peace, they will be with you in the desk someday. And they will also talk. You don't want to be afraid because you are maybe in the higher standard, the other person is in the higher standard. But if you go through that education, there will be peace and harmony. If you are hungry on the street, you don't eat for 2 days, there is a chance you're going to steal. Because you're hungry. There is no food in the house. Children are crying. Those are why people tend to go and steal or join the gangs. And if you see the newcomers, they came here, they never have gone to gangs, they have never touched anything in their country that they're going to rob people, they haven't. But when they came here, they find life hard, who do you think can be influenced? The person who is weak and need food will be the one that will be influenced. And what will they do? They go to the street and sell drugs. But where do they get the drugs? They were just here 5 days ago. Who gave them? Why did they get them? Why do they shake for it? They're not shaking for it because somebody there is shaking for them to get the profit out of them. And they are not really the people who get the profit. It's the bigger people that are selling the drugs are the ones getting the profit. But you're just innocent. You come from somewhere. You don't know the rules of the place. You are placed in that situation. That's where you go. That's why these things, as a community, we work together, we sit together, we think together, and we can change the view of the people. That's how this center came. Thank you very much.
Next up is Quash Madit.
How many have you got? How many more? Lots. Not that many people in here.
My name is Kwaj Madid. I'm the president of Sudanese Association of Manitoba. I think you have heard Benacio. We are working together. We are managing the center. And I'm here to say a few words because many things have been said. I don't want it to prolong my speech, but what has been said, our community is helping our people in the community in so many ways as it has been stated. One of the things that I just wanted to mention and has not been mentioned by many people, our community
building is very important in a sense that for the previous years, we don't push the program. And this year, we got approval to host the program in this center. You see how this achievement came? It is our, the activities we are doing that grant us to be given the hosting of program. So a lot of activities which have been said are very important for our community as a citizen, as a Canadian citizen, as a Sudanese citizen also. So I am here very grateful as Mike is our counsel for the building. He knows me. We have been together contacting how about all this process of finding the rezoning of the parking lot. Another the one thing I just wanted to mention is people always looking into our property as an income, which is not our goal. We are looking into our property to correct our community, which are getting lost, our kids, women, and a lot of activities. So whatsoever, whoever wanted to take that building as a profit for himself, our community don't allow that. And they, are not, they will not be happy to hear such a thing. Thank you very much.
Elizabeth Andrea.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Open? Or, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right. Ope? Open? Open. Okay. P.S. Akenyal? Okay. Frederick Abraham?
He wants to speak.
Oh, okay.
I will say somewhere.
Okay, yes. Okay. Second. What's your name, sir? What's your name? How do you say it?
Ken.
Oh, okay. Ken. Okay. Yeah, thank you.
One mic.
Thank you very much. My name is Pastor Ken Yell. I work with the Gateway Christian Community Church at Panet, Ron McLean. It's not a building and it's not a parking lot alone. One Pastor Gina caught me, he came 12 years ago. The same when I came from India. Actually, English might be number 6 or 7 in my languages. I was very grateful to see a part of my own Sudanese in Winnipeg, Manitoba. I could not become here, very cold place, but I come to know that God bring me here to do something. I'm grateful that my kids, they're Canadians. They don't speak like me, they speak like you. But my son, when my in-law, which is the best president of Sudanese Association, called me, he told me, Daddy, what happened to Sudanese Community Center? I said, nothing, but there is a meeting. He said, go, Daddy, and I will be praying for you. Because 1 year ago, my son, I could not believe. You see, dancing in Sudanese culture, Canadian. And he learned from this center. My daughter, too, now is ready for program we present talk about. My daughter, 2 years. He said, I'm going to dance, Sudanese dance. I said, how we do? He said, I seen already in video. Daddy. So okay. So this center also questioned, my son asked me a couple of months ago, he said, this center is for Sudanese, but Daddy, we Canadian who born here, we are Canadian, why Canadian is not there? And then I took his hand, we come in the center, we see board there. Then I told George, read that, and then he read Sudanese Canadian Community Center. I said, wow! Yeah. Yeah. So this center is something that we have to do something. Like me, Pacific, with Pastor General Court. We have King School me might be not here, King School, I'm a supervisor for all nation in King School. You know. So, to make my speech very short, I'm very grateful because I'm telling you, we come as a group passing the city to play down there, but this is our time. This is our time today. That place, we want it because we have no home. That place, our home right now. Because we don't know 2011, what is going to happen in Sudan? We don't know. Canadians are still there now. We tell them, what happened there? They still not tell us what happened. Because 2011, very, very, very close. So this is our home. And thank you very much. God bless you all.
Thank you. Thank
you. Alicio Sabu. Okay. Mashar Arcangelo. Arcangelo.
Thank you very much for the chance you gave us to say something about our center. But that is not the important. I want to ask you, the Canadian brought us here. You hear just recently about 4,000, 5,000 are here. When we came here empty-handed, with nothing. You were trying to rescue us from that situation we are, and you brought us here for the sake of humanity, thinking, health, rescue. I don't think that small land would be the problem for you to bring it to us, because you did a lot for us, for our people, for our citizens, for our children. Do you think that parking lot would be the problem for you? I don't think. Because it's going to support the city, it's going to help us. We are going to do many things there. As our president just stated, we're having program which we didn't have all these years. And we get that from other side of Winnipeg, from Flocram. They approve it for us. So those who are going to see our dance, our culture, that is why we are desperately looking for that land so that they can park their cars and do our activities. Thank you.
John Amoko. Yeah, is there anybody else who wishes to... Oh, are you going to speak, sir? Okay.
I hope I'm the last.
Okay.
I'll make it 2 minutes. Hi, thank you for the chance, even though I came a little bit late. I was at work. I was in the office when we initiated the issue of the center, and basically the background for that is the issues that are affecting our kids. There was no place else where our kids could basically sit and talk and share with each other other than hanging around in Central Park and things like that. That was the major, the basic reason why we had the center, so that we can come together as a community. Like, we have not been here more than 20 years old, and if there are people that have houses, they have houses that are less than 5-6 years old. You can imagine where all these people will basically gather together. Secondly, the way of our life, our traditional way of life are different. The way how we do our funeral arrangements differ from the way how we do it here. We're trying to get there, but we're still not there because our culture is behind us. So each time there's some kind of sadness in the community and everything, this is where the center is, where the community come together. They come together to console each other. They come together to share together and mourn their grief. So, not only in this Lebanese community, the center is being rendered out for each and every Canadian who felt that the place is clean enough and they think they can hold their activities in it. So I really don't have much to say. The only thing that I wanted to say is, had it not been because of the contrary consequence, I guess we won't be here at this time together. But we really needed the center, like I said. to give us a pushing hand, and we'll see what happens. Thank you.
Anybody else who wishes to speak in support? Yes, sir.
Yes.
We'll need your name and address.
Short as information.
You're
okay.
Registered for information?
Yeah.
You'll have an opportunity to speak when we call those for information.
But he'd rather speak in favor.
Right,
now.
You want to change that to in support?
Sure.
My name is Webster Webb. I'm 61 years old. I've lived in Toronto. I've lived in Winnipeg. I've lived in lots of places. And, you know, I have a lot of different feelings about this. I came across this organization about 10 days ago. So my experience is not as long as anyone's else is here. But there comes a time in most of our lives when we actually recognize that we come into touch with greatness. Remember, as a boy, I bumped into Sidney Poitier in the Lincoln Center. You know, I saw Joni Mitchell before she was known at a folk festival. And seeing this organization was one of those experiences. For some time, I've been involved in social organizations. I have been very concerned about life in the center of the city of Winnipeg, the problems, and how unmanageable they seem. And then when Ida brought me to this meeting to see if I could offer some technical help, when I saw how this organization functioned, and then they took me even a tour within the building where I saw the things were going on, when I heard about, you know, how they were helping people, when I saw the people, I work in the financial planning area, when I heard how they fund this, you know, with the personal contributions of people who are pretty low income, who are doing this out of their own pockets without charitable status, I was amazed. Really, you know, it's not about, as Reverend Ken said, it's not about the building, it's not about the parking lot, and really it's not about the Sudanese community. This is an organization that is going to help Winnipeg. We're going to see greatness from here, and I think our job is to embrace this and help them move on with their work. Thank you very much.
Okay, that's for all those in registered in support. Now we'll move on to those registered in opposition. First up, we have Mr. Harold Martinez.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak, and I've been moved by what I've heard today. A community group with such a resolve and such a dedication, but I do get mixed feelings on what I'm hearing. I hear it's not about the money for the parking lot, but then they need the money, so it is about the money. So I guess what I'm saying is, with such a resolve and a dedication, there's got to be a better way to go about this. And I would call upon our city planner to have brought this forward to the community, because when you amend the secondary plan, and we spent many years on it, it's supposed to be meaningful consultation with the stakeholders. Them being a stakeholder, West Alexander, Health Science Center, there's so many stakeholders, even the city of Winnipeg. We had transportation, we had works and operations around the table. These people have to speak to all this if we're going to amend the plan. And that hasn't happened again. Unfortunately, it's too bad. So what I have to do is I have to oppose this because of the breaking of the secondary plan. And that's the only reason. My heart goes to these people, and I believe in what they're doing, and I hope they can help their people and the community in general. But I can't support anything that breaks a plan without proper consultation. Thank you.
Next up, we have Catherine Collins.
All of you for your talks. It was most interesting, fascinating, and I commend you for all the work that you're doing. I remember when that building was the Eagles Hall, and I also remember when a piece of land that you're talking about was three houses that were torn down to make a gravel parking lot that has no landscaping and continues to have no landscaping. So, like Harold, I have to be here in opposition. I know what it's like to live in the inner city. I live at 460 McDermott. On Saturday, Sunday, I couldn't get to my house because my street was blocked off by police cars because of the shooting that happened up the street. So I live with gangs. I live with a lot of things, the way same things that you're concerned about with your children, because I live in that neighborhood. In 2004, I was asked by the city planner, Linda Ring, to be part of a secondary plan committee. Harold was recruited to that, and we recruited people from Centennial, West Alexander, many stakeholders that Harold is talking about. All of you are familiar. We worked on the plan for up until 2009, and then it went to council, and then the zoning overlays were done. It was a long process. The reason why we participated as residents is we wanted the plan to have some protection in it that would protect the area for as a residential area. And how the plan came about was there was a lot of pressure to make parking lots that arose from the building of Red River College, which is very near you. And the area that your parking lot is very prime real estate for parking lots and surface parking. And there is a desire to have more surface parking.
Hans,
yes?
You have to address the
okay,
chair.
I'm just giving them... Okay, so I'm telling you why I'm opposed. Because...
But tell us. Don't tell them.
Okay, well, I'm talking to them because I want them to...
No, you're not allowed to talk
okay.
to them.
Okay, all right.
That's where... I know it won't happen here, but we've had fights, and we're not going to have it, so...
Oh, I don't want to have a fight with
anybody. It won't
be
from you, I know.
Yeah, I don't want to have a fight with anyone. I just want to make clear of why we have to be opposed. The land will become very wealthy, and if these gentlemen want to make money, they will make money from it because it's valuable as parking, and that will solve their tax problem and the problem for their center. I think those lots would have been ideal for them to consider as housing because they probably need housing. And you have Fred Curry's report, and his suggestion is that if it's possible, set a timeline on it being a parking lot so that they can use it as such, as a rental parking lot, strictly for their use and not necessarily for a future buyer of it. And I would also ask, and whether they can afford to do this, is that it's properly landscaped and it no longer is a gravel parking lot. Do you have any questions? I mean, I'm trying to make it simple. Yeah. Yeah. So, okay.
Thank you. Great. Mr. Alan Wise.
Councilor Pakticat.
Councilor Shaughnessy. I'm Alan Wise. I'm the executive director of the Community Development Corporation for the area of West Alexander, Centennial, and Central Park. I am here to put before you a number of issues here. I was one of those folks who was involved in the issue of secondary plan when Ms. Collins and Mr. Martinez referred to. I was involved in that process for West Alexander as a community worker, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. And I have seen the community how painstakingly they went through that process to bring a semblance of protection and continuity to their neighborhood. These folks have lived in this area for many, 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 many years. And they want to see their community, their neighborhood intact. So on the count of being neighborly, it is not fair to go ahead and try to amend a plan for which they really fought to keep their neighborhoods the way it is. Housing and having a safe neighborhood, having a neighborhood that is not getting bad press, that is not being reduced to parking lots, surface parking lots, is a right. And they have every right to ask that. And I also want to speak to the other issue, or to the other side of the issue, and commend the folks for being here and putting forward their plan and why they want to turn that piece of land into a parking lot to help them with the issues that their agency has. And I'm here to offer my help. We have been in contact with the Sudanese community on other issues. They have applied for small grants. A small grant was granted, but not for, because small grants that we get through the government of Manitoba to transfer to these folks is not for building a building or fixing up the building. But there are so many other channels that we could have helped these folks had they been very proactive with us and been involved. And I hear them loud and clear, because I myself came to this country as a refugee in 1989 as a 19-year-old with $60 in my pocket. I exactly know what they've gone through.
how they felt about not being able to get a community together, how they felt about not being heard, how they felt about not being able to form a community and bring a form of sort of gathering and a support group for themselves, because they feel, you know, their building is going up in smoke and nobody's there to help them. I am here to tell you folks that I'm opposing this plan because it is going against what the neighborhood wished for and the city agreed to, a secondary plan. And it is not neighborly. You want to live in this neighborhood, you want to work with this neighborhood. Let us not undermine the rights of those who have lived here for a long time. And let's work with one another. I am here as the executive director of the only development corporation in the area to offer my help that, you know, on an ongoing basis, there are other channels, there are other forms that we can help the Sudanese Association to deal with the issue that they have. But amending secondary plan is not it. That's my summation.
Thank you, Mr. Wise. Appreciate that. I'll now call up those who are registered is there anybody else who wishes to speak in opposition to the application? Okay, seeing none, I'll now call those who are registered for information. And if you wish to speak, you have that opportunity. Robert Dick.
Hello, thank you for the opportunity to address this committee. I am representing Hargrave Holdings as well. This is what the first speaker talked about Hargrave Holdings being in opposition. We have never been in opposition, ever. 5 years ago, when I got to know about the Sudanese and what they were trying to do, our company approached the Winnipeg Foundation. We talked to Mary Bouchard, I believe, and I tried to find a way that we could help them financially. They did not have a tax number, charitable status, so we could not help them that way. As a second plan, we discussed, we will buy the property, don't take a $300,000 mortgage out, we'll lease it to you for $1 a year for 5 years with renewable options of 5 years. I did that because I did not want to rent or give something away and then have it sold in 3 or 4 years. Do I believe in the center? Absolutely. 110%. I listened to every passionate word that was said about the center. About 90% of the conversation was about the center. Maybe 10% was about the parking lot. 9 months ago, October 31st, President Venenzio and President Kwok invited me to a meeting at the Charter House on Saturday. And they asked me to help them, to either help them in management, to help them approach the city. How can I help them? The first question I said to them is, what do you do in the center? Why do you exist? And they explained it to me. And I was deeply moved, and I said, yes, I will help. We have helped other organizations financially, people from Botswana, people from the Philippines, people from all over the world, through a center that we purchased on Edmonton Street. The Eritreans hold their service there every Sunday. We have invested hundreds of thousands of dollars to help the immigrants over the past 7 years. When I talked with Venenzio, the two presidents, I came up with a plan. I said, would you be interested in leasing the center from Hargrave Holdings? Venenzio said, the chair that you see is a chair that I will sit on, but I must own it. Okay. We have property in the neighborhood where they are. I then gave them an offer in writing three times that Hargrave Holdings would pay the outstanding property taxes. Hargrave Holdings would pay their mortgage of $265,000. Hargrave Holdings would give them $50,000 for the renovations. The center would be debt-free, unless there's things I don't know about. Our offer is a very strong offer. It's in writing. I asked to meet to present the offer to purchase, which was produced by our lawyer. I was unable to meet with them. We matched everything they wanted. I offered free parking, 6 o'clock to 6 a.m. on their parking lot. So for their events, they would have lots of parking. Now, no mortgage payments, no back taxes. I mean, I don't know what more that we could have done to express our willingness to help them. Why would we do this? Well, first of all, we do need parking because I own the building adjacent to their building and the parking lot's between us. I do not have any parking. We looked at having low-cost housing in that building, which is at 357 Bannatyne. We looked at possibly doing some light commercial there to bring people downtown. That's what we're doing. Now, I have sent these three emails in February 15th and two in March. I asked as recently as July 2nd, do you not want to take us up on our offer? I have not heard. So we're willing to eradicate their debt in return for the 40 stall parking lot. It's not 56, it's 40. That is consistent with what we have been doing for the last 7 years, our corporation. I still have the offer in my binder. I've signed it. It is unconditional. No financing conditions, nothing. We can give them a check next month. They can pay their debts. I don't know what other debts they have. Menenzio told me what they owed, and that's what we concluded. That's about all I can say is we want to help. They're talking about getting $1,500 a month for a parking lot, according to the CBC statement that Venenzio gave. We're willing to eradicate about $3,000 or $4,000 a month. And we're willing to let them park for free. Don't know what else we can do. That's all I have to say. Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much for that, Mr. Dick, that information. I have a question for you. With respect to the offer that you were talking about, I just wanted to know who would be the owner of the building?
They would be, 100%.
Okay.
Free and clear.
Got it. And then who would be the owner of the parking lot?
Hargrave Holdings.
And then what's the conditions on the on you would allow them parking from 6 p.m.
to 6 a.m.? That's when all their activities happen. I've been there.
Now, what if they were to use the parking lot for their activities during the daytime? What does that involve?
We would have to talk about that. I do not know what activities are happening during the daytime.
Staff parking or whatever the case may
be. Staff parking could arrange for.
Other questions, Councillor Shaughnessy?
You don't have to answer this question. It is not. Okay. But I'm just so curious as to what is the function of 365 Bannatyne Investments? That's the name of the company it shows on our map here. 365 Bannatyne Investments.
No, we're at 357.
That's the Eagles, it says.
Was.
Okay. So the you're just there. You're not the building across Dagmar. You're not.
No, we butt up right against.
Yeah. Their but there is a plant. Big building beside you across Dagmar,
the street
called 365.
That's nothing to do with us.
And then they also own the parking lot on the
nothing to
William
do with
frontage.
Us.
Yeah. Okay, that's not nothing you at all. Okay, you have that building that our tax rolls still show as the Eagles. Okay. But you're the owner of that.
We are the owner.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who is here for information who wishes to speak to the application? Okay, seeing none, I'll now call back the applicants. We'll have an opportunity to sum up
one person
and address Well, we have.
You have to know the applicant spokesperson because they can't have more than one person somehow. Unless they come together as.
Okay, hold on here. Yeah, so one person can come back. Now, the applicant was Mr. Bonacio Wani, but.
He can designate someone else.
You can designate someone as you wish, or you can sum up. You want to sum up? Okay.
At the end, I would say thank you very much for putting ear to listen our grievances and then our problems. Just to reply to the last speaker, if, for instance, I give you a bread without the butter, you're not going to eat that bread. And that building we are holding is 100 and something years old. So tomorrow or after tomorrow is going to fall down. And without that land or parking lot, we are not going to sustain that building for long. We can get that money, that check for just, you know, like as if you're putting just something on your wound and then tomorrow that thing is going to go away and then wound is going to come back again. So if you have that parking lot, we'll have an opportunity for tomorrow, not today, like for maybe 50 years from now. We're going to reapply again. We want to make a build a new community center down there, and then to be our kids' home. That's why we don't want to take that offer just to have that building just buried like that and without the parking lot, because that building has no value without that piece of land of parking lot. So that's why we turned the offer down. So we want to be as we are like that. Our community, I know we are poor. We don't have that money. But if we put our hand together, I believe we can sustain that place and that can be our home till years to come. Thank you very much, and I wish everything is going to go well. Thank you very much.
Chairman, I would like to move motion starting with the first hearing, but in doing so, I'm going to be asking the planner for certain ramifications of the wording of the reports as I go along. Okay. First of all, with regard to the secondary plan amendment, I'd move the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All those in favor? Contrary, carried.
Move the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All those in favor? Contrary, carried.